Glory to our Skotska.
Yeah, I did yeah. So. Good try there, guys.
We tried.
I'm going to use it anyway. Welcome to the Crit Crew.
Welcome, comrades.
We are talking about our Skotska.
I can't do a Russian when I'm on the spot. If you asked me 10 seconds ago, I could have done a great one, though.
Now's our platform.
Hey, Max and Caleb. Yeah? Papers, please.
Are you talking about them? You talking about them bills, honey?
Wow, this is our worst intro yet. Welcome to the Crit Crew. We're talking about papers, please.
Papers, please.
Oh, we got the giggles.
Boy, this is definitely the tone that we want when we're talking about a game about fascism.
That is so dystopian.
This giggle tone of like us trying to time our intro. Ooh, exactly what we want. We want to talk about oppression.
And immigration. Failed immigration.
Dystopian Eastern European countries. Papers, please.
Your mother-in-law's dead. Papers, please. Papers, please.
Your son needs medicine and he's cold.
Okay, Max, please take us out of this tailspin. Tell us about the game.
I like this tailspin. All right, we're going to talk about Lucas Pope's Papers, Please.
That is a bitchin' name.
Lucas Pope is great. Papers, Please, which is described, I think, perfectly as a dystopian documentary thriller.
Is it documentary or document?
Document.
Is that the word?
Document. But it's like, it's so documentary-ish, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, dystopian document thriller. It's actually like the title card of it is like Papers, Please, a dystopian document thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah, it focuses on the day-to-day life of a border checkpoint guard in the country of Arstotzka during the year 1982. Make your parallels.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Because they're there.
1892.
I thought it was 1982.
Nope, definitely not 1982.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
You want to take the lead on this one?
No, anyway, continue.
But yeah, basically, you're just working like an every day-to-day guy. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to make money to keep your family alive and pay rent and get medicine and food and heat in this oppressive regime of
Stotska. And Max, how do you make your money?
You make your money working as a border security immigration checkpoint guard.
Okay, you said that. I was giving you a chance to do the gameplay.
Okay. Fine. But that is what it is. Basically, the game is playing a day job. You literally, like, you're sitting at a post and you're waiting. You're calling people up in a queue to check their papers. Mm-hmm. And like,
so like the So it's like a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It is like a puzzle game, except that it's also like, it feels very much like a very high-stakes job.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's so like what you're doing is like you'll be getting someone's passport and you have to like look, okay, does their height on the passport match their actual height? Does their picture match it? Are they coming from, like, on their passport, does the region match a region that is actually in their country? Mm-hmm. And you choose to either let them through or deny them based on if the information checks out.
And the way that it sort of builds off of that is sort of tied into the story that they're telling. Initially, you can only let in actual, like...
Arstotzka.
Yeah, yeah. You can let them in.
Did a quick check, Caleb. You're dead wrong. It is 1982.
Oh,
wait, for real?
Bam.
It takes place in 1982. Canonically, it takes place in 1982.
Okay, well, that's my bad then.
Caleb, hang up Skype.
Eat shit, Caleb. Your career's over.
It's pretty funny talking about this game after Hotline Miami because the color palette of this game is subdued.
Oh yeah, gray.
It's like gray and minimal.
Still pixel art though.
Still pixely. Yes.
It should be noted. Yeah.
Yes, they are two sides of the same coin, but those two sides have the completely opposite palette.
This game makes it unfair that you faulted Halo Reach for being gray.
But hey, this one owned it. This one owned it!
Mm-hmm. I still disagree that Halo Reach wasn't all that great, but I missed that chance for that. So.
That episode's gone, David. Move on. Please move on.
But yeah, basically...
Reach, please!
Papers, please! You're playing a border checkpoint guard that it's really interesting. There's you would think as a simple day-to-day life kind of thing, you know, just working a job, that morality wouldn't come in as much. But if you think about a border checkpoint guard, that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of moral decisions throughout the game, which are pretty interesting.
Can you give us some examples?
The personal favorite of mine is the husband that comes through with perfect papers, and the wife has nothing.
Yeah,
that's rough.
And also, let's talk about the reason why you would or wouldn't let somebody through is, in a given day, you're allowed 2 penalties. So if you don't match up, let's say you let somebody through who has a discrepancy with their name or a country doesn't match up where the passport was issued, as they're walking through, you'll get this little like script, this pink script that pops up in the bottom where your desk is, telling you the discrepancy. And at first, there's no penalty. Second warning, there's no penalty. But then the next time, or that time, it says, this is your last warning. So there's an incentive to not mess up.
You get a citation pay cut after a certain point.
Yeah, absolutely. Which money matters.
If you get a citation, if you start getting citations regularly, get ready for your wife, uncle, mother-in-law, and son to die. Because that's your incentive. They're not characters, but every day it ends and you're given your earnings and you have to decide where you want to spend that. Food, medicine, heat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's rough.
Real quick, I would argue the story, it's tough to talk about. It's blended so perfectly, like the story and the gameplay. And then the way the story it's not super important. Or developed, I don't know the word to use. There's sort of two plot lines that end up diverging. Could you tell us what those are, Max? Like with the Ezek Star and then, I guess, not following the Ezek Star?
Yeah, so actually, as an intro, there are 20 endings to this game.
Yeah.
That vary based on your actions. And they do matter. I mean, that's the thing. Your actions do and don't. So things like letting the wife through, that doesn't matter, but like, come on, it kind of matters. Like, that's a morality thing. But there, as you play, you will have people show up at the checkpoint. You know, you'll have like return people, like a good old Georgie
keeps coming with his crude passport. I love him so much.
Yeah, with his like hand drawn passport.
He's it's
like,
been pre approved,
and you're like, come on, dude. And he's like, you're good at your job.
Keep going.
He ain't even mad. But as you play, occasionally there will be members of the Ezek Star. And they are a counter-revolutionary group that's trying to overthrow the government of Arstotzka, who are, as you play every day, you start your day with a newspaper article, mm-hmm. which lets you know like a current state of affairs.
God, I love this game.
And yeah, man, so the state of affairs vary. Like it's hard to feel like sympathetic towards Arstotzka because they seem to just kind of be a exemplary, like, hey, don't do this if you're a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the things I think is kind of interesting is like prior to the start of the game, in the canon of the game, there was no border. Like there was no like border checkpoint, so you're the first border checkpoint guard. So there's a certain level of like weight on your shoulders from the get-go.
And I also, like, I want to use that as a springboard of how they introduce mechanic, because that is the thing about this game. How they sort of tutorialize what you're doing as a Border Patrol officer is ingenious. I mean, it starts out...
It blends so perfectly,
guys. Like, you start out only letting nationals in. You deny all foreigners. So every time you get a different passport than Astortska, it is, you deny it outright. And there's no rhyme or reason, but it's teaching you a basic mechanic. And then from that point, in the following newspaper clipping, they talk about wanting the patrol or the border to be a little more lax, and you can start allowing foreigners to come in, but they need an entry ticket. So then it starts to introduce more mechanics from that point onward based off of these newspaper clippings. And it's always a reaction to the news of the day before, which I think is just so fucking amazing.
A lot of times it was a terrorist attacks too,
right?
Which is scattered and haunting when it happens.
Yeah, they tend to happen like so. You only have an entire day's worth of time to do all this. There's a set time limit, which, considering that you have to let enough people through that you can make enough money to feed your family while worrying about all of the different scenarios in which you could mess up, because this game is not easy. It's very challenging after a certain point where there's like 10 different things, and then you'll be like, oh good, the dates didn't line up. Glad I caught everything but that. Right. It's but then also you've got, you know, the Isaac Star members who are looking for assistance, and you've got morality decisions, and you're trying to keep your family alive.
Man, there's so much I want to talk about. But just how you said how it's like haunting, like I think this is a good example, especially with puzzle games. The story needs to be like just strong enough to justify what you're doing, but it doesn't need to be overdone to the point where you're like losing focus on the puzzles. And I think they nail that balance. Like, the moments when the story does rear its head, like, haunting is a good word. Like, just to give you an idea, like, there are... It's two screens, right? Like, a top and a bottom?
Yeah.
Like, so the bottom screen is, like, the view of you inside the booth. Like, you see the person, and you have, like, the papers and, like, the books you have as reference. And at the top, you see the line. And, like, you see all the people in line, and when you let someone go, you see them walk through. And there are a couple times... And, like, for the most part, it's just texture. But every now and then, like, there are these moments where, like, someone is walking through the border, and all of a sudden they blow up, and the day ends halfway through.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, like so unexpected and powerful.
If you think about how tough that is, because you can't predict those entirely.
You can't, and I think it
interrupts your day, so you can't keep making money. The next day tends to open with new restrictions, so now what happened the previous day is making the next day even harder to get through.
It's so strange, because you're in this rhythm and you're really looking out for the just measly amount of money that you're making, and then when this terrorist attack happens, the curtain literally shuts where the next immigrant kind of comes. So that shuts, siren starts to sound, people are yelling and screaming, and then the day is just over. So sometimes you'll only get through like four passports before something like this happens, and your day is completely fucked.
And we're mostly talking about the passports here, but as you progress, they do add a whole lot of other. There's fingerprinting dynamics. You've got body scans.
Can we talk about the body scans also? Because that. You want to talk about a moment of like weird, like uncomfortable realization of the mechanic. Like when they start introducing the more like invasive mechanic. So like there's a point where in the newspaper articles, one of the terrorist attacks is linked to what is the name of the country? Kalichia.
Yeah.
To a
filthy Kalichian.
A Kalichian. So the day after that, you're required to search all collegians. You cannot let them through. And the body scans, there's an option in the menu of turning on and off nudity. And I was a little, looking at that, I was a little confused. But that moment of asking a collegian to be set aside for a random body search, and then there's just like silence, there's absolute silence, flash of two photos being taken, and then you get this pixelated image of this naked person, and you have to scan it for
weapons,
contraband. Contraband, that sort of stuff. It made me like genuinely uncomfortable.
The puzzles reflect the story, and like the story helps develop the puzzles. Like, again, in a lot of puzzle games, it's just like, okay, now it's time for it to get more difficult. Here's another element. But, like, all of this, like, it adds something in response to what's going on in the story. And it's incredibly successful.
I think that there's an amount to which, like, they can make really small changes to the gameplay. And that still makes the puzzle incredibly difficult.
By the end of the game, you feel like a goddamn train wreck. Because, like, there are six different papers that you have to be aware of, and you have like all of, like sometimes Pete like so throughout this whole thing you're just trying to get through as many people as possible to get money, get them fat stacks, and like there'll be like people that come through and hand you like 7 documents, and you have to go through all of them, and you're just like, oh my god, it's taking so long, what am I missing? Okay, fine, I approve them. Oh wait, I missed something? God damn it, what did I miss? And like, it doesn't tell you what you miss. Well, actually it does. But like, it's just like trying so hard to stay on top of things.
Right.
Can I say the one flaw, like, point of, like, thing I didn't like about this game?
Yeah.
And then we can go back to just, like, praising it.
I might end up agreeing with you, so go ahead.
So at the very beginning, there's that very big tension of, like, wanting to help your family. Like, you have, like, it'll tell you, like, so you get money and it tells you, like, okay, this is how much you made. Here's how much you lose for rent. Here's how much you lose for heat. And you can choose to, like, that night turn off the heat or don't feed your son, and, like, the health will, like, fluctuate. And at the beginning, that is very tense. But as the game progresses, and if you're good at it, you sort of get a pretty good financial, like, net to, like, catch you in case you start messing up. And because you never actually see these, like, these people, the stakes kind of lower, and it becomes more, I would like to do good at this puzzle, and that what drives you. But like that narrative threat sort of weakens once you get good at the game.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The challenge at that point, I think, becomes there are only really, like, out of the 20 endings, I would say 14 to like 16 of them are like you go to prison and maybe get executed and you never see your family. So most of the endings are bad. There are three good endings, and one of them isn't even that good.
Yeah. We never really addressed it. The way this game ends up sort of terminating is, like, the officials that have, like, visited you. Shit, what are they saying? Like, that they're going to do inspections? They're going to audit you. And you have, like, a timeline of, like, you're going to try to, like, emigrate out of the country. So So you're going to go to this other country, and when someone comes through from there, you steal their passport, and you're trying to steal enough to get all your family. And that's one of the endings. And then the other one is, if you followed everything that the Ezek Star, the rebels, have asked you to do, they sort of, like, blow up the border post and let everyone free, more or less.
But there are a whole lot of endings with the Ezek Star where, like, I was just, like, looking through. I haven't got all 20 endings. That's a lot of time. When I was looking through them all, there are a lot of endings about, like, you'd help them and you failed, or you helped them and then didn't help once and now it's a bad ending.
Yeah.
Like, there really are only three good endings. One of them is a passable ending where you just continue your job forever until you die. the two, like, good endings you tend to have to, like, get citations to get. So that's I think that's a challenging part, is that it puts you in the situation of, like, trying to get other... You're like, trying... If you try and you know... Or, you at least think you're trying to pursue a good ending.
Yeah.
It tends to cost you money and time.
Well, because
sometimes,
like,
that's how you lose a family member.
You have to, like, get passports from other people. I keep wanting to say the other country is Snowden, and I know that's not it.
No,
Edward.
Oberstan is where you go to.
Yeah, so, like, you'll, like, someone will come through from there, and you, like, put their passport in a drawer, and they're like, where's my passport? And you're like, you never gave me one. They're like, god damn it, yeah, I did. And, like, then you'll get a citation. Like, that's what you need to do to get the good ending.
Huh.
I'm sorry, Caleb, I cut you off.
Oh, no, so, like, kind of going back to the losing the tension of family, that is how I discovered the first ending. I was ill-equipped, and all of my family died. I was learning the mechanics of the game and didn't realize that you could, like, turn off certain food, heat, that sort of thing. Didn't make that connection for some reason. So my family was slowly dying, and I thought there was just this automatic, like, it was being deducted from my pay, and I was like, why are they, like, what is happening? So eventually my
family's super sick.
Yeah, my entire family ghosted. And then I got the ending of, yeah, you need, like, they're requiring workers to be, like, strong with their family and can support them. You are terminated from your job. And that was the end.
I love the dead family ending. It cuts to a still of graves, and it's like, your family is dead.
Yeah.
But then they go to, like, this, like, propaganda... like nationalist graphic, and then the game ends.
Our Stotska officials want their workers to have healthy families, so they replaced you.
But that is that's sort of the tough thing about this game is like you. For me, you're kind of working towards providing for your family, but it is you're doomed for failure. I mean, you can't scrap together enough savings to accommodate every possible need.
You can. It's just, man, you've got to be good at that game.
It's tough, but really? there's also, I'll just say this real quickly. There's a point where you start receiving incentives to maybe detain people. So you're actively looking for discrepancies. When you make that first, like, hey, this doesn't match up, there's a guard who lets you in on his cut. If you detain, for every two people, you get 5 credits. So when you're really tight on money, it starts to throw into question, all right, do I start detaining people, even though when I can just deny them outright? So it, again, I think it adds to that tension of providing for your family as opposed to sort of lessening it as you go on.
You got people like Georgie, too, who are like, you know, like, hey, I'll help you. I'll give you some extra credits if you give me, you know, give me a hand. But, you know, that's always a iffy proposition.
Caleb, when I said the thing about the family, you said that that might be the thing that you had problems with. Was there something you had problems with with this game that you didn't address, or was that it?
It was mostly me saying, like, the fact that I was so busy focusing on the mechanic of my job that the family was an after, sort of like this afterthought, that I didn't make the correlation that I needed to take care of them and how I was using those funds.
Need a pop-up in the game that tells you, take care of your family.
No, that's what it says in the beginning of the game.
I was giving you a hard time. With, like, keep your family alive.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is that is my own personal fault, is like I didn't make that correlation because I was so invested in this mechanic and sort of how it was successfully kind of progressing in introducing new and new mechanics for you as the player. So it felt like an Oregon Trail style, your family is deteriorating, oh dear God, it's helpless kind of.
It's very Oregon. Honestly, it's the Oregon Trail of border security guards.
I was like, where are you going with this?
I was trying to think about it, and I was like, do I go border security guard or fascist regime?
Either one works.
It's both.
Is there any other way this game is perfect that we've forgotten to talk about?
I like the art a lot. I think the propaganda is really convincing. The passports look great. I've never seen a game where I'm so interested in paperwork.
Yeah, like I will say the biggest strength of this game is, much like, you know, we talk about in Hotline Miami, how that central gameplay loop is, it just feels good. There's something about like using the limited resources you have here to sort of pixel hunt and using that and making that final decision, that final stamp of whether or not you choose to let this person through, it feels so incredibly satisfying.
I will say that... I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No, I was done.
Okay. That is the one other thing I would have a flaw with that I can think of, at least at the moment, is that sometimes when it is all pixel art, like everything is pixel art, even the text is, it can be a little hard to read the details, or like when you're trying to compare seals.
Totally.
That can be a little difficult, but that's just like, that is getting very nitpicky.
I think that they made a lot of the seals distinctive enough that most of my issue wasn't trying to like identify seals. It was
rarely a problem.
Applied to what, and like, a lot of it was like, oh God, what is this? Where is this? Jesus, I don't even know. Like, I hope this is fine. I'm gonna stamp it and pray for the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, there's always this moment like, I've let like 3 people in a row. There has to be a bad one soon, but I cannot find anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily. There might not be a bad. That's the thing. Like, you're like, it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe. There can't be this many people immigrating successfully.
I do think, though, the way that you're sort of cross-referencing, I had an issue with the specific when a person had a different name. And they would say, like, oh, I go by this other alias, and then the fingerprint thing would pop up. And even if they had matching fingerprints, if there was no known alias and you let that person through, I'd be cited for it. And that was something that, like, I didn't... I also, there was another instance where their weight didn't match up, but you only see the weight on their passport. So it's like, how do you make that judgment call as to whether or not the weight is... quote-unquote accurate.
Details. Dude, it's a details game. That's where you would match up as a discrepancy and be like, why are your weights different?
But that's the other it's
thing.
Just...
There's a whole dynamic of if you find two things that don't match up, you click in the corner and you can highlight the two discrepancies and then question them about it. And then you proceed from there. So, like, if you have two passports with different names, you'd be like, why are the names on the passport and on your ID card different? And they'd be like, oh, I have... I just changed my name. And then that's when you'd go, okay, well, now I'm going to have to fingerprint you.
Right.
Details are just, man, it's so hard.
It's really, yeah, it is literally a pixel hunt in this case.
Is there anything else we want to talk about? Like, or do we just, like, get all of our love out and this is just going to be a short one?
That is kind of the basic premise. The game is, I think, a lot about replay and then just the fact that, like, it exists. I mean, the way the gameplay works is so unique. There isn't really anything I can compare the gameplay to, and that's kind of standout-ish in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess let's just move on to the final bit then. If we were writing a book with all of our infinite qualifications... That was the art history of video games. How it like?
This has become the way that we introduce this.
I've struggled how to like introduce this, and this is just.
I like it. No,
I let David take it every time.
Yeah, take it home.
I can go for a whole ramble on how art's a conversation every time, but I think art history of video game. But you know what? I'm happy with it.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. So okay. If we were writing this book, would Papers Please make it into it, and what would it say?
I don't think there's a huge amount of a whole chapter dedicated to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unique. It's very unique. A lot of people really praise the game. It got a lot of attention. It got a lot of attention solely because of how unique it is.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, David.
And there are merits to it.
Okay. that should be on the box.
There are merits.
This game has merits, Max.
Yeah, major merits.
So I don't want to say that everyone should look at this game if they're making a puzzle game, because even puzzle games have a lot of variation, and that's not necessarily fair. But I think more than that, I would take this game as just a great example of how to properly balance gameplay and story and how they should interact in a game. I think this game crushed it.
Yeah.
And it is, I just love it so much.
It's,
man, I uninstalled it because I stopped playing it. Now I want to replay it.
Well, hey, guess what, David? It's installed on your Steam account. So
I do own it.
So I mean, honestly, like, it is, like David is saying, such a good balance. You look at something like Portal, which is another standout of... I think the comparison is fair in terms of how puzzle is balanced with narrative. But in Portal's instance, it's all about the writing. And with Papers, Please, the narrative influences the mechanic, especially in the very beginning. And it leaves such a lasting impression that I honestly think it balances it better than something like a Portal in a lot of ways.
Wow.
And you take something that is so like unwieldy and so political, which immediately for players I think would bore them to tears, and you make it accessible. You know, you have something that is fairly simple from the get-go, but it just keeps amping up in intensity, and it's because of the changing political landscape. I have not seen a puzzle game, or a game for that matter, balance those real world elements as successfully as Paper Please.
It's quite it's quite realistic too. That's kind of where I would give it.
Let's a make lot Art of Stotzke its, great again.
Art Stotzke great again. Jesus. God, damn it, David. Anyway, that's a terrifying.
Hey, David, you just trumped.
I wanted to say that now so we could wash it out.
Talking about border guards at big walls that need to get blown down, and here's our realism there. Anyway, there's something about like the conversation of like how realistic can you make a video game, and this is realistic in a way which few video games are. It's realistic in the nitty-gritty mundane nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's interesting. I mean, essentially the game is a desk job.
Yeah.
But it's the best desk job I've played.
I would
rather praise.
This has been more fun than some actual jobs.
Yeah,
I wish this was my internship, guys.
But like, it's interesting because it literally is just a desk job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something really sort of that's why I sort of brought up the documentary aspect to it. It's almost like it's a documentary to a thing which didn't exist, but there are so many parallels to reality in it that it's pretty on the nose at times on things.
Right.
The parallels to Soviet Russia are abundant.
Yeah, and so. I think it balances like that. I don't know. I think it really does establish that tone of paranoia really, really well. And this whole Soviet Russia has been done to death. The Cold War fears that we as a country have held so dearly for decades and decades.
Infinite gold mine for games.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is like at the height in this game. It really is.
Yeah. So closing. Oh wait, actually not closing thoughts. Email.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. If you want to send us your criticism of Papers, Please, keep it to your goddamn self. If you want to send us all the ways you love it, or how you thought about this video game, or your favorite paper desk job fan art, send it to critcrewpodcast@gmail.com. I think I may have said the Crit Crew Podcast a couple episodes. That is wrong. I'm sorry. Just Crit Crew Podcast. Send it.
We're denying David entry to the next podcast.
Oh, no.
Denied.
Sorry.
Sorry, Dave. David, the emails you're using, they just don't line up.
They don't. I sense discrepancies.
Do you have an answer for that?
I've submitted everything properly.
No,
it's just that one time.
Yeah, can you fingerprint this, please?
Yeah, hold on real quick. Okay, yeah, here
you go. Oh, no, David, no, this doesn't line up. You've been selected for a random search. Can you please step aside here?
Can you step aside?
Okay. Do it.
Hold on. Yeah, Caleb,
oh, wait.
What do you think about this guy? I think he's a little suspicious.
Have you
seen
his...
Do you want to detain him for the time being?
Have you seen his butthole?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. That's not going to work. That is not going to work.
Yeah, right. Crit adjourned. You're detained.
Crit adjourned.
No! And scene.